all the news that's fit to buy. Bezos snaps up the Washington Post.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for David Brancaccio. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos snapped up the Washington Post yesterday, along with some other papers, for $250 million. Like most papers, the Post has been losing readers and advertisers. Marketplace senior reporter Chrissy Clark joins me live now. Good morning, Chrissy.
Good morning.
Chrissy, why would Bezos be interested in this paper?
Well, it's funny. Jeff Bezos is obviously a very successful businessman. So your first thought might be he wants to make money, in which case you might ask, is this really a good investment? According to the Wall Street Journal, over the past decade, the Post's daily newspaper circulation has shrunk by almost half. Revenue has fallen by 30% about. But Susan Bedell, a media analyst at Forrester Research, points out that Bezos is known as the ultimate disruptor, after all.
If newspapers are going to return to the kinds and levels of profitability that they've had in the past, then a pretty significant disruption in how they do business is probably necessary.
But Chrissy, Bezos has said that he wants to stay out of the day-to-day management of the newspaper. Is that right?
Right. And so that kind of brings us to another motivation that Bezos might have, good old-fashioned passion and civic duty. Bezos is worth about $26 billion, and the money he paid for the Washington Post and related newspapers is a tiny fraction of that. So maybe he just likes the idea of keeping a newspaper afloat. Gabriel Kahn, a professor at the Annenberg School of Journalism at USC, pointed to the letter Bezos wrote to the staff of the Post this week, and he says reading that letter,
it seems to be a purchase based more on understanding the civic value of this kind of institution beyond its financial value.
Oh, yeah. And apparently Bezos is a big newspaper reader. He reads it every day.
Marketplace's Chrissy Clark. Thank you, Chrissy.
You're welcome.
It is a mixed day for overseas markets. London's FTSE is down 0.2%. Paris's CAC 40 is up just a bit. U.S. markets had a down day yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.3% to close at 15,612. One of London's largest financial markets could be moved from the U.K. to the U.S. by its new American owner. London International Financial Futures Exchange, or LIFE, could be coming stateside. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The coloured trading jackets and the shouting are long gone. These days, life is an electronic market in futures and options. Now, says Will Mitting, editor of Futures and Options World, computer speed is of the essence.
For high-frequency traders, they tend to trade in nanoseconds. It's 1/1,000,000th of a second. People are already beginning to talk about the possibility of trading in picoseconds, which is 1/1,000,000,000th of a second.
By switching LIFE's main market computers to the US, American-based traders would be able to deal 100 milliseconds faster than the smaller London-based traders. That's 0.1 of a second. That's an eternity.
If your strategy is purely based upon your ability to respond to market news quickly, then you're really going to see a difference in that 100 milliseconds.
And Juan Pablo Pardo Guerra, an expert in electronic trading at the London School of Economics, points out that the US is the biggest derivatives market in the world.
So it makes sense taking these systems from London or from the UK and putting them in the United States.
But does it? At least one London trader questions the logic of the move.
It won't stop us from trading, but I don't think we'll be trading through LIFE anymore.
Neil Crammond of the Futex Trading House says rival exchanges like NASDAQ and the Chicago Mercantile Exchange have been piling into London.
We now see NASDAQ Exchange offering the same contracts as LIFE, CME offering the same contracts as LIFE. You know, we can now pick and choose where we want to go.
Why have NASDAQ and the CME moved to London in the last year or so, he asks? They're fighting for a slice of LIFE's multi-trillion-dollar business.
They're fighting for a big part of the cake.
He believes putting speed above all other considerations is a major misstep for the exchange's new American owners. This, he says, could be the beginning of the end of LIFE as we know it. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Today we'll get an earnings report from First Solar, Inc. The American solar panel maker has been branching out, building large-scale solar power projects. That's partially in response to the plummeting price of solar panels. Sarah McCammon reports.
It's been a tough couple of years for makers of solar panels.
From the end of 2011 to the end of 2012, average selling prices globally dropped by about half over the course of 1 year.
Michael Barker is a senior analyst with NPD Solar Buzz. The plummeting prices are a result of simple oversupply, but Barker says First Solar has found a way to survive.
What they're doing is they're creating the demand for their product.
The company has expanded into project development, not just making parts, but working with cities and utilities to develop big solar generation projects. Jenny Chase is head of solar analysis at Bloomberg New Energy Finance. She says First Solar was ahead of the curve and is now among the top solar power producers in the world.
They've essentially been able to chase the profits into the engineering and product development space.
The big question for investors, she says, is whether First Solar can keep lining up a steady stream of projects. I'm Sarah McCammon for Marketplace.
And finally, lie-flat airplane seats are coming to the hoi polloi. JetBlue is adding them to its cross-country flights. No word yet on price. Currently, though, a first-class ticket on a cross-country flight costs about $3,000. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.